hello. This is your host, Ron King, and you're listening to The Ron King Show on RKP Radio. On our shows, you'll get to hear gospel and contemporary Christian music and some interviews of Christian singers and bands from the local tri-state area of western Pennsylvania, northern West Virginia, and eastern Ohio. So keep listening for all of that and more. We'll return right after this message.
Here is a seed of hope, encouragement, and inspiration from the sower, Michael Guido.
One morning while swimming, young Churchill was about to drown, but Fleming rescued him. Knowing that Fleming wished to become a doctor, Winston Churchill's father offered to finance his education for saving his son's life. Years later, when Prime Minister Churchill lay dying of pneumonia, Dr. Fleming was called to treat him. Using penicillin, which he had discovered, he cured him. The Bible says, "Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days." Share with others the gifts God has shared with you. When you do, they'll return.
Sign up to get our free daily devotional, Seeds of Hope, on our website at guidoministries.org or write us at P.O. Box 508, Metter, Georgia, 30439.
Well, hello, and welcome to another edition of The Ron King Show. I'm your host, Ron King, of RKPRadio.com, and we are pleased to have as our guest today, Christian musician and pastor, Mitch Wall. Mitch, welcome to the program, buddy.
Thank you, Ron. Well, thank you for allowing me to be here.
No problem. Mitch, would you please tell our listeners where you live and where you're calling in from on this snowy day?
Yeah, I live on the outskirts of Fayette City out in the country. And it's snowing here just the same as it's snowing where you're at. But like I said, I've been living here now for about 26 years. And it's a nice country place, and it's the perfect place for me.
Okay, that's great. You're a country boy then, huh?
Oh, yes, very much so.
Mitch, have you lived in that area where you're living now most of your life, or were you raised someplace else?
Well, I was raised in Belle Vernon, Pennsylvania, in a little village called Fairhope. And I grew up there, and then after I got married and moved, we lived in several different places. But eventually I found the country home that I'm in now out in Fayette, out on the outskirts of Fayette City, PA. And like I said, I moved around. I never was very much stationary in one place. But right now, Ron, I'm pushing about 61 years old, and I'm tired of moving.
It's not fun, is it?
No, I'll tell you what, the older you get, the less fun it gets.
Mitch, what high school did you attend when you were younger?
I attended Belle Vernon Area High School, and I graduated class of 78. And Belle Vernon Area is a big school, and there was I think we graduated one of the largest classes in the history of the school back in 78. But, of course, that was the baby boomer time. And there are many people that graduated with me that I still stay in touch with today.
Mm-hmm. Hey, were there any school subjects that you particularly liked when you were in high school?
Yeah, I was pretty good at math, and I was always real good with history. And history was something that captivated me, you know, because I love to research things. And the thing about history is if you don't learn from history, you're doomed to repeat it, they say.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's just a really fascinating subject to me. But those were probably the two best subjects that I had, other than, of course, music.
Mm-hmm. So you did show some interest in music when you were in school?
Oh, yes. I was a member of the choir in both junior high school and senior high school. Got a chance to sing solos in the choir and play my guitar for the whole school at the choir concerts. And like I said, I used to play guitar when I was in junior high school and high school, too. And there's many times I'd take my guitar to class with me, and they'd have a study hall.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't get much studying done because the teachers and the students wanted me to pull out my guitar, and I sat and entertained the class for 45 minutes of the school time.
That is interesting. I don't know that a lot of schools would allow you to do that. I'm a bit older than you, and I know had I whipped out my guitar when
yeah.
I was in school, my teacher would have broken it over my
Well, you know, the one thing I had going for me, Ron, was my teacher was a guitar player, too.
Mm-hmm.
And believe it or not, I still stay in contact with him today. I talk to him regularly on Facebook.
Well, that is very, very cool. So you play guitar. Can you remember when you got your first guitar?
Yeah, it was for my 14th birthday. I remember my mother and my dad bought me a 1965 Gibson SG Kalamazoo.
Kalamazoo. Where did you get that? Like in a pawn shop or a Sears and Roebuck catalog? Where?
No. Actually, my cousin had it, and she just veered away from guitar, so her mother sold it to my mother and my dad, mm-hmm. and they gave it to me for my 14th birthday.
Did you like to practice much on the guitar, or did you want to go outside and play baseball and football with the guys?
Well, I used to play baseball. I used to be an avid baseball player as I was growing up, but as the guitar became more and more important in my life, the sports kind of took a back seat, and the guitar really came out. And I think the reason was it defined me as who I am and what I wanted to do with my future.
Uh-huh. So it looked like then that you thought maybe you wanted to be a guitar player, maybe a rock star, you think?
Well, maybe not so much a rock star, but I wanted to be a country guitarist. And I started really getting into it when I was about 15 years old. I started to write my own songs, and I started to play out on the circuit in the bar rooms and the taverns and clubs. And like I said, it gave me hope for a future in music.
Did you ever play in any kid rock bands when you were younger?
I did. We played, well, it was country bands, but we played with a friend of mine that lives a couple houses up from me, and he had a family band with him, his sister and his father, and they asked me to join in with them, and I pretty much played out with them when we were kids. Till I was about 18 years old, and we had a lot of fun,
mm-hmm.
you know, playing music together and learning music, and it was exciting.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot of fun, yeah. What about some solo work? Did you ever just sit on a stool, say, in a local bar by yourself and entertain the folks there?
Many a day.
Oh, really?
My father, he would go with me wherever I went.
Uh-huh.
And I joined the musical union at a very young age, the local musical union. And, you know, I played in the taverns, I played in the bars, I played in the clubs. I pretty much played a good bit of venues that were out there, and got a chance to play with Roy Clark. For some of the folks, the listeners who know him, I did a concert with him in a certain place. But, yeah, I did. You know, we got out and we played. And like my father said, he says, play where anybody can hear you. If anybody's willing to listen to you, you play for them.
Well, Mitch, I know that you're a church pastor now and have been for many years, and you told me at one time that you got saved at a Billy Graham concert. Could you tell our listeners a bit about that, please?
Yeah, well, Billy Graham, I always admired him, and I always admired his preaching and his crusade ministry. So he came to Pittsburgh one day. And he came to Pittsburgh for a four-day revival or crusade back in June of 1993. And it was a Thursday night, and my wife and I, well, she was my girlfriend actually at the time, I asked her, I said, could we go down and see Billy Graham? And she said, yes. Well, two other friends went with us. And when we got there, the only seats that were left, because it was festival seating, the only seats that were left were the ones in the 500 section up there where the pigeons fly.
The nosebleed and, seats.
Yeah. And anyway, we sat down and we listened to the crusade, and he gave the altar call after the message, and I felt led to go, but I didn't go that particular day because, you know, you got the devil on your other shoulder saying, you don't want to go down there. People are going to think you're crazy. What are your friends going to think when you go down there, you know?
Right.
And I didn't go down on that first night. It was a Thursday night. And I was miserable the whole weekend because I finally missed my chance to receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And so I talked to my girlfriend, Carolyn, at the time, and I says, Carolyn, I says, Billy Graham's going to be there on Sunday, and it's an afternoon crusade. Can we go down? And she says, yeah, we'll go down. So we went down, and distance wasn't a problem this time around because I was right behind the first base dugout. And so Billy Graham came out, and he had a musical guest, Stephen Curtis Chapman, one of the big names in gospel music. And I didn't know who he was at the time, but Billy Graham preached his message. It was on eschatology and the end times. And I went ahead and listened to that message, and then he gave the altar call again. Well, when he gave the altar call, Ron, I started having people all around me go down, and I started to rock in my chair, and Billy Graham said like this, he says, you know what, he says, you may never have another chance like this in your life. You go ahead and come if you feel the voice of the Holy Spirit talking to you.
Uh-huh.
And I'm walking and I'm looking around, and hundreds of people are going forward onto the field. And then finally he said this. He says, you hear that little voice talking to you inside? He said, that's the voice of the Holy Spirit. He said, you be obedient to him and you come. And I turned around and I looked at my wife and I looked at Jonathan. And I says, you know what? I says, I got to go. And I ran down that aisle, and I was on first base at Three River Stadium, and it was there that Billy Graham led me to Jesus Christ.
What a great story. Think of all the probably millions of people that man has led to the Lord.
Yes, he truly has.
Yeah, what an amazing pastor.
Yeah.
Mitch, after you got saved, did you feel that you needed to start playing gospel music instead of secular music?
Yeah, I started to drift away from the country music, and I just felt by the Lord to play gospel music. And I started playing probably when I was about 34, 35 years old, and I didn't know anybody in gospel music. I met a couple who were my dear friends now. And they got me started. They told me how to do it. They told me where to go. They invited me to concerts to sing with them. And, that's basically how the engine got started with gospel music with me.
Mm-hmm. You had mentioned to me prior to the program that a lady by the name of Nancy Welsh, who has gone on to be with the Lord now, and Ron and Arlene Bach, husband and wife, who call themselves Free Spirit, they were really instrumental in helping you get started, weren't they?
Yes, they did. They gave me every chance in the world to play concerts with them and kind of took me under their wing and got me a lot of exposure because I was new to the area, and nobody really knew who Mitch Wall was as a gospel singer. And like I said, you know, I'm forever thankful for them for what they did. Nancy has since then gone on to be with the Lord now. And she was very instrumental with a lot of things that I did with gospel music in the local area. And she was a real blessing and a real friend, and I look forward to seeing her again in glory.
You will. Mitch, I know it would be a bit down the road for you, but at one point in your life, you decided to go to Bible school. Well, how old were you when you made that decision, and what school did you decide to go to?
Well, I made that decision when I was 36 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a local Bible college open up in the Mon Valley. And the name of the Bible college was the Mon Valley Bible Institute. And so what I wanted to do, Ron, was I wanted to go there to enhance my knowledge for writing Christian music, because at that point yet, the possibility of me being a pastor didn't exist.
Right.
The call wasn't there quite yet, and I thought that I was going to go ahead and be able to write better songs. So I went to the Mon Valley Bible Institute, and once I started, I never quit going, and I started accumulating credits. I started to get a lot more knowledge than what I had in the beginning, and it worked out well for me. And then all of a sudden, the call came for me, and the opportunity came for me to become a pastor.
Mm-hmm. So you went to Bible school just so you could write better gospel songs, and unbeknownst to you, the Lord was thinking that he had a different plan. He was going to lead you to become a pastor at one point, right?
Absolutely, yes, that's mm-hmm. correct.
Mitch, of course, you're a pastor now, and you do a lot of preaching in church, but I understand that one of the first times you ever got to preach was in an old schoolhouse and not a church. Tell us about that, please.
Well, what happened was I went out to play a concert out in Graysville, PA, and there was a country pastor out there by the name of Harry Hill. And he invited me to his church to do a concert. And before the concert and after the concert, he wanted to get to know me a little bit better also. So he talked with me, and he found out that I was going to Bible college. And as I was going to Bible college, he told me, he says, "Well, you know what? We've been wanting to start a missions church out in your area. Our church wants to start a mission church." So he asked me, he said, "Would you be interested in possibly pastoring that church?" And I told him, I said, "Well, that's a decision I can't make overnight, but I said, we'll pray about it. You pray about it, and I'll pray about it, and we'll see what happens." And after about 2 years of prayer,
2 years,
finally I got the call off of God,
uh-huh.
And I was sitting here in my living room, laying on the couch, watching a baseball game, and then all of a sudden, everything became clear, absolutely clear. And we started the church in a Grange, and Ron, I'm sure you know as well as I do, and some of our listeners, the Granges were very friendly to churches, especially new starting churches at that time.
Uh-huh.
And the Lord told me where to look. He told me in my heart to check out the Morning Star Grange out in the outskirts of Perryopolis.
Okay.
And I says, okay, so I checked it out. And I called Pastor Harry, and I said, "Well, Pastor Harry, I think I got my answer. I think I'm your man for the pastor of your missions church." And we planted the church in the Morning Star Grange, and we were there for about pretty close to 3 years.
Wow, wow, wow. That is a nifty story in itself. Mitch, you've told me before that eventually you felt the Lord's leading to try and buy an old Catholic church for your little congregation that you had gotten together by then. But, of course, you had no money. So how did you eventually get the money to buy an old Catholic church and turn it into a Baptist church?
Well, I'll tell you, once again, it involved Pastor Harry Hill, who was my mentor at the time, and there was the building that became available in Newell, PA, and I talked to him, and I said, "Pastor Harry, I says, there's a building that's very close to us that we'd like to try to attempt to get." So we met with the Catholic leadership about the possibility of getting the church, and we asked them what the price was, and naturally I went down there to look at the building, And I took a couple of my officers with me, and I walked in there wrong like I had $1 million in my pocket, you know, and checking this out, checking that out. Yeah, this is what we want. I had $100 in my pocket in the building fund. That was it. And when I asked the magic number for the Catholics in order to get the building, they said $55,000. So you could tell I was about $54,900 shy of getting the building and paying for it. So I went back and I told Pastor Harry about it, and he says, here's what I want you to do. He says, I want you to write a letter telling everybody about your situation where you're at. I want you to write every church in the state of Pennsylvania that's a Southern Baptist church.
Okay.
Explain to them your situation, and we'll see what happens, and ask them if they have any funds that will be able to be donated toward your cause. Well, that's what I did. And we mailed the letters out, and within about a week, 2 weeks, all of a sudden responses came back. And there was a card and an envelope wanting to help for $500 from churches. There was cards and envelopes that started showing up with $1,000. We had our sister church, Charleroi Baptist Church. They donated about $2,000 to that effort. But when push comes to shove, okay, we met our goal. And we needed, because they dropped the price of the church from $55,000 to $36,000 or $35,000. We met the $35,000 goal in 2 months and never walked through the doors of a bank.
What an amazing, miraculous story. That is.
Yes, because I'll tell you what, I've seen churches that have tried that since then, and a lot of them have come up short of their goals. But God even gave us not only $35,000 that we needed, he gave us $36,000 to pay for the closing costs. So we were lock, stock, and barrel free, out of debt, and we had a building.
Praise God. Well, Mitch, I know you're still pastoring presently. What church are you with now?
I am with Grace Baptist Church in Grindstone, PA.
And how long have you been there?
I've been there since, I actually joined as a member once I left the pastorate at Morningstar.
Uh-huh.
I joined Grace as a member in 2010. But just as I was getting ready to join, their building burned down.
Oh, boy.
And it burnt to the ground. So they were holding services in the Grindstone Fireman's Social Hall.
Okay.
And at that point, I joined the church as a member, and I was the evangelist for that particular church, while another pastor, Lonnie Lewis, he pastored the church.
Uh-huh.
But eventually, we did rebuild with the insurance money that we had with the church, and we built the building that we're currently in right now for the last 8 years.
Wow. Listen, Mitch, is your church still having services during this pandemic?
Well, you know, Ron, we closed the church because of the uncertainty of everything. We didn't close. We actually closed way back in the spring because nobody knew what we were dealing with the pandemic, how it was spread, what was the dangers of it. I mean, it was unknown to us, basically, because we never went through anything like that before. But anyway, just recently, when Governor Wolf closed the restaurants and the other places this last time, we closed again for about 3 weeks, and now we're open again, and hopefully this is the time that we're going to be able to stay open. But so far, you know, praise the Lord, we have not had a COVID case in our churches of yet.
Well, what a great, great, great blessing. Mitch, at this point, I'd like to talk to you a little bit more about your music. How many CDs have you recorded so far?
To date, I have 3 CDs. We just finished a Christmas CD this past year, and we released it back in November. And I have another CD that is all originals with me and the band that I assembled. Still Witness was the name of the band. And it has a lot of my originals on it. There's 10 originals there. And I also released a album that I recorded in Bobtown, PA, from Silent Wing Audio. And it was an old gospel hymn album. And it was just a gospel solo album with just me and my guitar without the background music. And that's the way that a lot of music is played today in churches. You know, a lot of times with just a singer sitting down on a stool and playing his guitar and giving glory to the Lord.
Yeah, that's for sure. Well, folks, this might be a good time to listen to some of Mitch's music. So, here is Pastor Mitch Wall with a song that, did you write this one, Honk If You Love Jesus?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
I wrote it for a couple trucker buddies of mine that come into the factory where I work. And it was for them that I wrote the song, and it turned out to be a real popular song on the album.
Okay, folks, let's listen to Honk If You Love Jesus.
My dog time by the morning light. Got long nights driving and a lot of miles to cover ahead. My wife and my kids seem to understand that I'll be back home just as soon as I can. But the highway's calling, hey, it's time to run. Gotta make another dollar to spend. Big wheels rolling on down the road. Behind me, I'm pulling one heavy load. Another cup of coffee and I'll be just fine. My wheels keep a turning, I keep them a turning. Gospel music's on the radio. I'm spreading good news everywhere I go. And a sign on my grill's telling how I feel as it teases to whomever it pleases. Honk if you love Jesus. I'll get a bite to eat and some fuel for the night. Then I'll catch up on my logbook and it's back out on the highway again. The DOT won't find me tonight, cause I'll be dodging those scales in the bright moonlight. When around the bend they'll hear my engine whine. Praise the Lord, you know I'll be on time. Big wheels rolling on down the road. Behind me I'm pulling one more heavy load. Another cup of coffee and I'll be just fine. My wheels keep a-turning, I keep them a-turning. Gospel music's on the radio. I'll spread the good news everywhere I go. And a sign on my grill's telling how I feel as it teases to whomever it pleases. Honk if you love Jesus. Pulling one more heavy load. Another cup of coffee and I'll be just fine. My wheels keep a-turning, I keep them a-turning. Gospel music's on the radio. I'll spread the good news everywhere I go. And a sign on my grill's telling how I feel as it teases to whomever it pleases. Honk if you love Jesus.
Okay, we are back. I'm your host, Ron King, talking to Mitch Wall about his music and his ministry. Mitch, if any of our listeners would want you to come and speak or sing at their church in these particular days, would you go?
Well, I would go, but, you know, Ron would have to follow proper protocol, you know, for the safety of everybody. But, you know, I'm not stopping the ministry in its tracks right now. But if I do get invited and if the proper protocol is followed, yes, I'll come.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as you well know, I'm a recording and a singing artist, too. And I haven't done a couple of things because folks said, well, you know, you need to wear a mask. I'm not even sure I could sing for any length of time with a mask on. I think maybe the carbon dioxide would think I'd end up fainting or something.
Yeah, you end up blueing on the floor.
Mitch, how about some contact information? Is there a phone number people could reach you?
Yes, I'll give you both a phone number and an address to write to. My address is my ministry, Hope on Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 302, Fayette City, Pennsylvania, 15438. And the phone number to reach me is 724-938-2003.
For broadcasting's sake, give me that phone number one more time.
All right, it's 724-938-2003. And if I don't answer your call personally, I will get back to you at my earliest opportunity.
Or I'll have my robot answer the call.
Yes.
How about a Facebook page? You got one of those?
Yeah, you can catch me on Mitch Wall Facebook.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
And we do live
streams.
We do live preaching on Sunday mornings. There, our services start at 10:30 in the morning, and you can catch a message by me on Facebook now. Or if you would like a DVD or a CD of my messages, you can write to the address that I gave you before, mm-hmm. and we will be glad to send you out a CD or a DVD with whatever you request, and you can hear Pastor Mitch Wall preach as well as sing.
That is wonderful. Well, Pastor Mitch, I see that our time is just about up for this edition of the Ron King Show. Thank you very much for being our guest today. It was fun.
Yes, and thank you for having me, Ron, and for all your listeners for lending an ear and hearing about me today.
Okay, and so then, on behalf of Christian musician and pastor Mitch Wall, this is Ron King of RKPRadio.com saying so long, till we catch you next time on The Ron King Show.
You've been listening to The Ron King Show on RKP Radio. If you'd like to contact us for any reason, you may do so by calling 724-225-2030. That's 724-225-2030. Or by emailing us at ronking3@verizon.net. That's Ron King, then the number 3@verizon.net. Until next time, then, this is your host, Ron King, saying keep a song and Jesus in your heart. So long.